we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Ann Northrup, and you are not Andy Hum.
I am not Andy Hum. I am Kathy Marino-Thomas. Nice to be with you all today.
Welcome, Kathy. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
At least you have the gray hair. That's the requirement for Gay USA. I'm just going to ask our director. We made a little last-minute technical switch. Is Kathy's microphone working? Rich? Well, we're going to...
No.
No? Evidently not.
All this confusion. I'm going to give you this mic instead.
Right. Okay.
You can put this on any way you can. Excuse me.
This is the third microphone change for Kathy. We will hope that it works.
Now you see all we can get behind the scenes.
Well, while she's doing that, let me tell you a couple of things. This is our last live or live on tape show of the season because our M&N studios here are closed for Christmas and New Year's. So we actually have a couple of very special treats for you for the next 2 weeks. We are going to show next week Brendan Fay, great Irish activist and filmmaker, marriage activist. He made a film called Taking a Chance on God, which is a portrait of John McNeil, great Catholic priest, author, psychoanalyst, and author of the book The Church and the Homosexual many years ago. So Brendan made this terrific documentary about him and his life, very moving, very beautiful, and we're showing that next week for Christmas.
Oh, how nice.
Isn't that appropriate?
Yeah.
Yes. I say that as an atheist. But but even I was moved by this documentary, and I really, really recommend that you take a look at it. And then the following week for New Year's, we're going to start off the new year with a bang and some activist inspiration. We're going to show you Jim Hubbard and Sarah Schulman's United in Anger. Part of it, anyway. It's a little long, so Jim has recut it a little to fit our time constraints. United in Anger is a portrait of ACT UP in the late 80s, early 90s, and some of the really big actions we did. And it will propel you right out of your seat and into the streets. It's so dynamic and terrific. And I say that even though I'm in it. So that's what's coming up for the next 2 weeks, which gives us a little time off to gather ourselves, take a breath, and get ready for the new year, which is what we will be doing. Also, we want to let you, we'll be back, I guess, the end of the first week in January, whatever that next week is after New Year's. And we also want to tell you how grateful we are for your support throughout the year. And lots of people like at the end of the year to do some charitable donations. We are a 501c3 through our fiscal sponsor, Fractured Atlas, and we would heartily appreciate any help you can give us at this time of year or any other time, but particularly now, if you just go to our website, gayusatv.org, you can find donate buttons all over the place. And I want to say, I will be very glad when this year is over, assuming that we acknowledge any kind of artificial delineations of time. But this has been a rough year for me. Moving was rough. Getting my apartment in shape has been rough. Still working on that. But my breast cancer has been...
I was just going to ask you, how's your health, Anne?
Well, my...
Any updates for our viewers?
Well, first, I just want to say, to make the segue from the donation ask, that I am way behind. I write notes to everybody who donates, whether they donate online or send us a check or whatever. I send them a note, and which I love doing, and we've developed some great relationships with viewers. But I'm so far behind on that because I had surgery in April, and I just have been completely overwhelmed since then. So
need a little help?
Yes.
I'm happy to write some notes for you.
Yeah, in all your spare time. but I want you to know that I see all your donations. I remain grateful, and I intend to take some of this next 2 weeks to catch up on a lot of that, because really, we so appreciate your help, and it means a lot to us, and it really does help. And my health is actually quite good. I saw my oncologist yesterday, and I was talking to her about my apartment repairs.
Oh, it's good that you're focusing on the apartment and not on the health. It's
well,
good.
We agreed that cancer at this point is the least of my problems.
Awesome.
Not really, but, you know, I'm doing well. I'm on two cancer drugs. I'm not having much in the way of side effects, which is good. A lot of people have a lot worse time than I'm having. I'm seeing my cardiologist this afternoon.
Oh, my God. Isn't aging wonderful? I just love it. I have a sore knee. I need a knee replacement. Isn't it fantastic? I love it.
I figure I have about 98 doctors at this point. And
I thought you were going to say 98 years.
No. But my grandmother did have a hip replacement at 99.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I just lost my aunt at 99.
Oh.
What a hell of a run, though.
Yeah. Well, it's been a hell of a year, and so let's use that as a segue to get into...
As we move into year two of the insanity. Yes, ma'am.
Trump's reign of terror continues against Americans who need health care and food, and against trans kids who need all of that, against South Americans in small boats, and against the murdered Rob and Michelle Reiner. It's just been horrendous.
But then we have the Susie Weil interviews.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if there was a bright spot in all this bad news, it would be that.
Well, Kathy took the time to read them. I haven't had that time yet. I'm going to, but she's going to fill us in.
I'm telling you, Susie really stuck her foot in her own mouth this time, and I enjoyed every written word. She said she let us know that our president has an alcoholic personality. Amazing.
Well, we both have that in our families,
yes.
So we will delve into that.
We will.
And meanwhile, Attorney General Pam Bondi is keeping herself busy. She wants to pay bounties to those who turn in left-wing domestic terrorists.
That's everybody I know.
Well, it's certainly us.
Yes,
radical
it certainly is.
Gender ideologists. And we may deserve the death penalty for that.
Amazing.
Under Pam.
We'll know a lot of people in the line. That's all
we
I
will.
Can say.
Next headline.
Well, apparently Indiana refuses Trump's redistricting plan. I can't say that word. Florida continues its clever acts against the rainbow crosswalk rules, both of which entertained me greatly.
Yes, there are some bright spots. The mayor of Budapest, Hungary, however, will be charged criminally for standing up for the Pride parade last summer.
And unfortunately, pioneering pro basketball player Jason Collins has brain cancer.
Terrible.
Very sad to hear that.
Very. Better news. Mpox cases have been declining in New York City in the last couple of months.
And we lost gay icon and actor Anthony Geary, Luke Spencer. Oh, my gosh. I love General Hospital and I loved him.
And by the way, he was gay.
And had a husband for 30 years.
Yeah.
Even though everyone wants to kind of slick right past that.
Well, I have the New York Times to prove that. But he died on the same day as Rob Reiner.
He did.
At the same age. And they actually intersected on All in the Family.
We'll talk about that in a little while.
Will. But let's start with Trump, because he's number one.
If we must. All in right. his own mind, at least.
Yes, exactly. Well... you know, he is, it's Wednesday afternoon. We are awaiting his big speech tonight to the nation, but we know what he's going to say. A++++.
Yes, and everything is about him.
Everything is about him. Everything is great. There's never been a better economy.
And anything that's bad is trans people's fault.
And Joe Biden.
And Joe Biden.
Joe Biden and trans. Trans and Joe Biden. So there aren't going to be any surprises tonight, we don't think. But it is so depressing and so horrifying what a mess he is and what a cruel, cruel human being.
He's very cruel, and he's obviously vying for the position of dictator. It's so obvious. It's obvious in this rally that he did in Pennsylvania, where people were questioning him about the economy and things that trouble every American, and all he wants to talk about is trans people.
Well, he's deflecting, and the economic news this week was bad. You know, joblessness is up and on the rise, and prices are continuing to go
up.
And the Epstein files, although heavily redacted by the Justice Department, which
yes,
will
course.
Not let anything get through that sullies Trump, are scheduled to be released on Friday.
But on that, I've been very happy with the social media comments that I see every time that something comes up about the Epstein files, where they claim about Bill Clinton and this and that, and I bet you those Democrats don't want them released now. And our comments have been, release them all.
Yes.
I want to unearth every pedophile and creep and get rid of them all.
We're not interested
We're
in
not
a
interested.
King.
We're not interested. That's right. Absolutely.
And doesn't Susie Wiles acknowledge that Trump is in
Susie the- was the gift that keeps on giving. Please continue to come back to her. Because, I mean, not only does he have an alcoholic personality, but J.D. Vance is a conspiracy theorist.
Well, let's go into Susie Wiles.
Much, much more juicy details on
this
her
is,
behalf.
This is, there she is giving Trump the side eye, which I, that's why I chose that picture, because I thought that was so
evocative. If you read into the comments outside of the interview, she claims that she thought she was doing interviews for a documentary in future. She claims that Vanity Fair did a hit piece on her.
You know, Chris Whipple is famous for interviewing chiefs of staff.
Yes.
And doing serious, deeply revelatory interviews. And for her to be so stupid as to not realize that he was going to do this is crazy.
She's just like, how close is she to Trump? How far away do we think she's going to get in her beliefs? She thinks that he's got the right to be a king. And she really didn't see this interview coming.
Well, that's just nuts. So it's two parts in Vanity Fair, Chris Whipple interview with Susie Wiles. Any other parts of it that you... Oh, let's talk about the alcoholic personality.
Yeah.
I grew up with an alcoholic father.
I have many alcoholics in my family, yep.
And
I can see that. I can see how she would get to that.
Well, totally. And we've been sort of diverted from it by the fact that he doesn't drink. And I believe he doesn't drink. But
it totally makes it weirder.
Well, no, because an alcoholic personality is it's inherent in a way that doesn't necessarily have to do with alcohol.
Yes, of course.
And what strikes me as the crux of this is his rage. And his
narcissism,
definitely. Mm-hmm. But the rage, you know, I saw my father for many, many years of my life just screaming at my mother every night, provoking arguments. And all I wanted to do was curl up in a ball until I could get out of that house when I graduated from high school. And I was out of there in
moments.
Oh, you
waited that long?
I did not.
Well,
When I went to college, we were living in Denver at the time, and I was going to college in New York, and I just got on the plane and left. No one took me to college. No one.
Three jobs to stay out of my parents' house.
Very good. Very good.
17 years old. Whatever, yeah. I had to do. Absolutely. But I can see that we could come to that conclusion with him. He's definitely got those traits, even without the alcohol.
Well, and in the face of that rage, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
You can't argue with them.
Right. Well, and she says in the interview that he berated her for an hour in Florida one time, and she didn't know if she should fight back or remain stoic. my advice would always be to remain stoic in the face of that kind of rage.
Well, that's what I did. I remained silent in the face of that, and then escaped when I could.
She's not escaping.
Well, none of them are.
No.
They're all just there, captive in the White House, in the face of his rage and his narcissism.
Well, and then, so this interview comes out. She claims that she feels blindsided by it. They all stand behind her.
Yes, because he is.
Yeah.
And they're never going to go against him. And the word has gone out that she is to be defended because he can't ever admit a mistake.
Right. And he's not going to admit that having her this close to him is a mistake.
Right.
Never.
Or giving the interview.
I don't even think he thinks it is a mistake.
No. And I think he thinks rightly that it will blow over. That
and
a week from now, no one will be talking about it. And they'll... Just
until part two.
Move on. Well, part two's been published.
I haven't gotten through it, I have to admit. I haven't gotten through part two because I read part one 3 times. It was so entertaining.
Well, thanks.
I suggest all of our listeners read it and reread it over a nice cup of coffee.
Whether you subscribe to Vanity, I subscribe to it online, not the hard copy. Yes,
it's fine.
It's cheap online. But yeah, get your hands on it. I can't wait.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, and then Pam Bondi is still creeping along, doing his bidding of assembling a list of organizations that are domestic terrorists. Now, by this, we mean all 501c3s.
All of them. And God forbid you have LGBTQ+ in your title or in your mission statement or anywhere on your website. You, too, are on the list.
I think Gay USA has successfully flown under the radar for 30 years. But, this could be...
Oh, I'm waiting for a knock on the door. Where am I going?
A knock on the door. I think the drones are coming with the bombs. They've wiped out the boats. Now they're coming after us.
I think the tide is going to shift here. I'm an optimist. So,
yes, me too.
And I'm feeling the cracks that are happening now.
Yes.
And I can't wait for the day that we have Nuremberg trials for the Trump administration.
I'd love to think so.
Truly.
I would love to think so. Oh, we mentioned the Epstein files coming out this week. Just show that little picture we have. There's the Trump condom that was one of the things found in Epstein's belongings.
I wonder if when you take it out of the package, if it's in the shape of a mushroom.
Well, actually, my favorite depiction is on South Park, where they show him naked with a teeny tiny little penis.
Yes.
Unbelievable what they get away with. All right. And yes, we mentioned the Pennsylvania rally where he's also going after Ilhan Omar and the Saudi Somalis. I mean, how many times do we have to try to drum into his head how immigrants enrich this country and how we are all descendants?
He would have had to read our American history, and I don't think he understands.
He has to look at his parents who were immigrants.
How about his first wife? Both of them, that's right.
Or third. First and third,
that's right. If they try to take away birthright citizenship, I think his children should be first.
That would be nice. Meanwhile, though, we have to applaud the Indiana Republicans who refuse to go along with his redistricting in spite of death threats they're getting from MAGA Republicans.
Well, this is what I'm saying about the cracks in the armor.
Yes, exactly.
I think we can see that. We can see that there are differences between actual Republicans and MAGAs.
And if you think that... he's not a narcissist. You have only to look at what's going on with these coins. First of all, the latest humiliation, he goes to the Army-Navy game and is called onto the field to do the coin toss, the coin flip. He doesn't know how to flip a coin.
Right.
He doesn't just flip it like any normal human being. He puts it in the palm of his hand and tosses it like this.
Well, he's a germaphobe, first of all. So he probably was thinking, where has that coin been? And he doesn't actually want it to touch his fingertips because he's afraid.
He could do it with his glove on. He
of
doesn't,
course.
But
of course.
He doesn't, I
he
maintain,
doesn't flip. He goes,
doesn't know how to flip a coin.
Yeah.
So he just tosses it, and it goes up and lands flat, and that's
and the
coin toss.
Pageantry drives me nuts.
No, oh, please.
When he walks out and he has to have this whole army, it's just gross. It's gross.
Well, it's the Army-Navy game. But
yeah,
then
but
the follow-up is that Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, our turncoat gay, has to approve coins that are being issued for the 250th anniversary of the country, which will be celebrated all next year.
Right.
And so they had a bunch of coins that were being evaluated, and they included things like
Frederick
had
pictures, Douglas,
Ruby Bridges,
right,
women's suffrages, all rejected. DEI, woke, we're not doing any of that. We're doing, you know, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and...
and him.
Well, there. Wait, that's a separate one. There was a mandate in the law to make these coins that said you have to honor women as well as men, and so they have one that has a pilgrim couple,
right?
With the man, of course, taller than the woman and sort of protecting her. And so, when questioned about the fact that it was all men on these coins, Scott says, but look, we have the pilgrim woman, and she was certainly gardening and cooking and sewing and
right,
taking care of everybody. And I'm sure she learned a lot from the Wampanoag Indians.
Just like you and I, churning our own butter.
Yes, exactly. So that's how they feel about women.
Yeah.
And then there will be a Trump coin. We're not showing you the sketches for the possible looks because we don't like him. And the design is not final. I'm
but I
sure.
have to tell you that one of the considered designs has to do with his assassination. So he's going to have the
that's going to be in the obverse, yeah,
the bandage on the ear, the hilarious.
Well,
thing.
One side's going to be a lovely you know headshot of him, and the other side is going to be the assassination.
But I just want to point out for all of our American history buffs that this was the thing that George Washington put down immediately when they wanted. When we first established our country and Washington was made president and they wanted to produce U.S. currency and they wanted to put his picture on a coin. And he said that we don't have any kings.
We do now.
So, you know, so
yeah,
much for American history.
The other thing that's happening today, which we would like to tell you more about, but the vote is happening this afternoon and so we will not have the result. So that's going to have to wait a long time, but you'll catch up with it. Marjorie Taylor Greene, we have to say this because she's been getting so much praise for breaking from him, which is admirable. It's
yes, but
wonderful.
Let's bring that back down to earth, shall we?
Yes, because Marjorie Taylor Greene is holding Speaker Mike Johnson to a promise he made to her. He said, if you vote for the defense authorization bill, which she did, we will allow a vote on your proposal for a national ban on medical care for trans minors. And not only is this a ban on that care, but it criminalizes
the doctors, doctors
and parents. So any doctor or parent who collaborates in getting care for a transgender minor, we're talking puberty blockers and hormones, not surgery, just simple care, you can end up in jail. And that's what she's pushing, and pushing hard.
Yeah, she's pushing hard.
And then Congressman Crenshaw has a separate proposal about forbidding Medicaid coverage of any of this care, and that will be voted on tomorrow. So keep your eyes open for that. But I think certainly the cruelest thing that Trump did this week was his comment on the murder of Rob and Michelle.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't this a horrible story?
Yes.
Really
Reiner.
Terrible. And in this time of family crisis, that's what he has to say. He makes it all about himself.
It is.
And tries to say that they... I don't know how many folks out there have read it, and you should, where he talks about how it's because of Trump deranged syndrome, which made me laugh out loud because it just shows that he doesn't understand what that means.
Well, what he's trying to say is that the Reiners infected their son with hatred of Trump, and the son was so mad at that that he killed his parents. And that's insane.
Well, of course, it has nothing to do with that.
It's nothing.
It was, so far, it seems like a drug-induced rage, which they had been dealing with for years.
Or certainly mental illness.
Having nothing to do with Trump.
Absolutely nothing to do with Trump. Now, we, you know, we'll see what the trial says.
Oh, my God, what a beautiful couple. For me, a marriage advocate, they have been extremely important. They were the people who got Ted Olson in on the marriage cases, and We owe them a great deal anyway on that subject.
Well, no, I want to take a minute on that, because when Proposition 8 passed in California forbidding same-sex marriage legalization, that was after Gavin Newsom was doing marriages, so the right wing got together and said, we have to stop this, because Gavin Newsom was saying, look, there the California Constitution allows equal protection or whatever, so I'm going to interpret that as marriage rights. And the right wing said, no, 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 that can't be right. We're going to outlaw this. And the voters of California voted for Proposition 8 to allow
it. And it annulled marriages.
Yes.
That was the only litigation in all of marriage equality's fight that actually annulled marriages.
So Rob Reiner, longtime liberal, progressive supporter of equal rights, got together with his friend, Chad Griffin, who worked with him, who was then the head of HRC, Human Rights Campaign, and they created the American Foundation. Yes, American Foundation for Equal Rights. And they hired Ted Olson, a right-wing or conservative lawyer who had defended Bush in Gore v. Bush, and a brilliant guy, but well-known as a very conservative guy, and David Boyce, the liberal lawyer, and they agreed to team up on our side to fight Prop 8 in court and try to get it overturned.
I spoke to Ted Olson over the years a couple of different times in our fight for marriage. And when you hear him speak, you would think that marriage was that marriage equality was a conservative issue.
Well, yes, it
and
was.
And the way that he explained it was exactly what we needed.
Yeah. Well, that was the argument for many. And in fact, many LGBTQ people were not interested in marriage rights.
Oh, and who are you telling?
and saw it as too conservative a construct.
A similist.
Why would we want to do that? Why do we want to play into that routine?
That's when I memorized the 1,358 things you get with a marriage license.
Well, exactly. So, but Rob Reiner was the driving force behind this movement, this creation. And the thing that's really important about that is that every national LGBTQ organization at the time argued against the lawsuit and said, don't do it. We're going to lose. This is bad. Do not go into court against Proposition 8. And Rob Reiner and Chad Griffin said, the hell with you. We have a righteous case here, and we have to fight this. Yeah. We cannot let this stand.
Just for the record, I agreed with them.
Me too. Anyone who wasn't part of the establishment did.
Yeah.
And they won.
And they won.
Yep.
And he was outspoken about equality and freedoms and what this nation stood for. And I think that's why Trump said it was all because of him.
Well, exactly, because Reiner was very outspoken against Trump. And
you know, there's one little thing I heard in the memorials and various news stories about Rob that really stayed with me. And that is that in his office, he has an actual poll tax receipt that Medgar Evers carried in his wallet.
Well, that was because he made the movie Mississippi Burning.
Correct.
And at a...
And Merle Evers was
Merle Evers gave him...
That.
Yes, yeah. and gave him that receipt, which is now in Lucite.
Lucite, yeah. And for those out there that don't know what a poll tax is, it was a fee that people had to pay to register to cast their ballot.
If they were black.
If they were black.
Yes.
Correct.
And And we're going to, I think in the show note, we're going to include a little video of him talking about that very movingly. So huge loss.
Huge loss.
And really cruel from our president. And
the information that's coming out in the now about what happened that day, terrific for a family to have to go through. I believe in my heart that he wouldn't want his son to face the death penalty.
Absolutely not. But that is one of the possibilities.
Well, yes, it's out of everyone's control. But I believe, because he was such a kind-hearted soul, that he would not want to see that happen.
Absolutely.
Great loss for all of us.
All right. So back to the disintegration of the Trump cabinet. In Maryland, a judge has said that a lawsuit can continue against Education Secretary Linda McMahon and her husband, Vince McMahon, because there they are, the happy couple. You may remember that they have been the people in charge of World Wrestling, WWE, I guess. Which, I don't know what the E stands for.
Entertainment.
Okay. They are charged with ignoring the sexual abuse of underage ring boys by the ring announcer. This is the announcer on the left there in this picture, and then the youngsters' faces are obscured to protect them. But WWF, I guess. I can never tell the two apart. But there are lawsuits by the former boys or their representatives against the organization. And the McMahons tried to get the case thrown out, but a Maryland judge has now said the lawsuit can continue.
Kind of fits the personalities of the MAGA folks, though.
Yes. The announcer died in 2012, but five of the surviving victims brought a lawsuit, and three more have come forward to join the lawsuit. So that will be continuing, and the McMahons are in trouble.
I wonder if the McMahons are in the Epstein files. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
They had their own venue. They
didn't
need.
I couldn't help myself. Yes, they have their own.
All right. Well, now that we've consumed a great deal of the show, we should hustle along for next things. In Seattle, we told you last week that there's a big fight within FIFA, the international soccer organization. FIFA's World Cup will be here in the U.S. and Mexico and Canada next year. And they've spread matches all over the three countries. And just coincidentally, they've scheduled a match for Pride Weekend in Seattle
with
Egypt and Iran. So Egypt and Iran have now formally complained about this. They want Pride canceled. They want no rainbow anything anywhere near them. The Pride organization in Seattle says, the hell with you. We're going to go ahead with everything we were going to do. And there is a chance, and I think this actually would be a good solution, other than just throwing it in their faces. There is a game the same day scheduled in Vancouver between Belgium and New Zealand. And there is a little talk of maybe they could swap the games. It's nearby. Belgium and New Zealand would certainly love to be in the midst of a Pride celebration. Not that Vancouver might be so happy about hosting Egypt and Iran, but it's just a thought. Qatar, by the way, or Qatar or whatever, is scheduled for a game 2 days earlier in Seattle. And I'm sure there will be Pride stuff going on.
Oh, yes.
Then.
Because there aren't any gay people in Iran. Or
I forgot to mention, of course, that Kathy is on the board of the Gilbert Baker Foundation.
Yes.
And next year is the 50th anniversary of the rainbow
28.
Flag.
28.
Yeah.
And we'll be having,
28. Sorry.
And we're going to have lots and lots of events leading up to that, including a gala, so get your tickets as soon as I announce things.
And if you'd like to work
plug.
On the gala, there may be two,
there
East
may
Coast,
be two,
West
East
Coast.
East and West Coast, you never
2028.
Know.
2028. Talk to Kathy. She'd love to talk to you.
Just a little plug there on the side.
Yeah,
thank you very much for that.
That's fine. Well, we have to keep up with things. Slap on the wrist to Meta, the Facebook people, Zuckerberg. They are removing and restricting 50-plus organizations worldwide from their platforms that deal with abortion or LGBTQ rights. Mark Zuckerberg is, he might as well be Susie Wiles.
He may as well be.
Just
I was
awful.
Thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And there goes my profile.
In New York State, Governor Kathy Hochul, first of all, has agreed to sign a medical aid in dying bill. So it will, they're making a few adjustments, but it looks like they're going to be allowing assisted death here in New York State.
But also on her desk is the SHIELD law that'll strengthen and fill gaps in our state's SHIELD laws to ensure that New York State will not be complicit in hostile states in the Trump administration, and it'll protect gender-affirming care and reproductive care. And it's sitting on her desk, and she has not signed it.
She also has till the end of the year. She has a lot of bills.
Also, the New York Health Information Privacy Act on her desk, hasn't signed it. Hospital transparency, I hear she is not going to sign this. So I'd like to give a phone number, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So please, New Yorkers, call Kathy Hochul's office, 518-474-8390, 518-474-8390, SHIELD Law, New York Health Information Privacy Act, and most importantly, the Hospital Transparency Act.
Yes, please make a call. That could help in this last minute. And someone who's probably not helping on those, I'm guessing, Catholic Cardinal Timothy Dolan, who is retiring.
I'd love to throw his retirement party.
He's reached official retirement age,
yes.
And Pope Leo has accepted his resignation.
Bye-bye,
Cardinal.
See ya.
But so we thought, all right, Pope Leo, he's kind of progressive, or we think he might be. And
do you know much about the...
Yes. The rumor is that he's going to appoint someone from his home state of Illinois, yeah. Bishop Ronald Hicks. Andy sent a note to us about Bishop Hicks, about him opening a conference of courage, the LGBTQ Catholic organization that promotes celibacy, kindness to gay people, but celibacy.
I'll be celibate when those priests are celibate. You must be kidding
well
me.
Done,
you
Kathy.
Must be kidding
well
me.
Done. Well done.
Celibacy. Oh
yeah.
My God! Crazy.
So, if Bishop Ronald Hicks from Illinois is
appointed, we're not getting any improvements in the
doesn't
next.
Doesn't sound like
that's
it.
What I
here's what I would guess: smoother, no change.
No change. Yeah. Younger, lasts longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
Just a guess.
Just great.
But here's a little piece of good news. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is the bad news. In Randolph County, North Carolina, the county has dissolved a library board after the library board voted to retain the book Call Me Max on its shelves. The book is about a trans boy who tells his teacher to use his preferred name, Max. You know, a gentle kid's book. And the library, the people, you know, local residents complained, probably three of them from, you know, Moms for Liberty or something. But the library board held a hearing and they ended up deciding to keep it on the children's bookshelves. And so now they've all been fired.
Dissolve the entire library board. Oh, my God. The hate is thick.
It is. Well, North Carolina, you know, it's dicey.
I know, but the entire library board?
In Houghton, Michigan, which is on the Upper Peninsula, which is the most conservative part of Michigan, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Is there a liberal side of Michigan?
Sort of, yes. Detroit.
Sort of, yeah.
Are you kidding? Gretchen Whitmer is the governor.
Yeah.
Lesbian Dana Nessel is the attorney general.
Crazy.
Poo. A county commissioner in Houghton has proposed a resolution that, just like our president, they will only recognize men and women. And they held a hearing on this and heard 5 hours of testimony, 5 hours from local residents. And the local board defeated the proposal 4-1.
4-1. Yeah.
And the board is 3-2 Republicans. So that is a wonderful win. Similarly, in Palm Desert, California, the mayor pro tem proposed Palm Desert, California, where we're in gay land there in the Palm Springs area. So the mayor says, why are we celebrating Pride Month and hoisting a rainbow flag on City Hall? This is discrimination. This is DEI. We're not going to do this.
And defeated.
Well, the city council held a hearing, 4 hours, and defeated the mayor's proposal 4-1.
Yeah.
And then the mayor was interviewed. Maybe we'll be able to put this in the show note. And he said, I'm not unhappy with the outcome.
Yeah.
Because now I've talked to gay people. Really? After you made the proposal?
After you proposed to just wipe us out.
And I understand now it's about equal rights.
And the epiphany has been had.
Oh, my God.
Craziness.
Not, however, with the New York City Young Republican Club, which held, you know, the state Young Republicans got dissolved because they were found to be having chats about I Love Hitler.
Yeah.
And now they've held the local New York City Club held.
Wasn't any better.
Well, they held a gala and all the anti-Semites and proto-Nazis showed up and were celebrated and welcomed and terrible. Oh, and Elise Stefanik is distancing herself from them.
Elise Stefanik. It should be a landslide for Kathy.
I hope so. All right, where are we now? We are at St. Petersburg, Florida, where the big sport in Florida is how do we get around Governor DeSantis's ban on rainbow crosswalks?
I love this story.
Oh, it gets more clever every week. So this week's edition has the local residents of St. Petersburg, Florida, deciding to create rainbow bike racks. There they are.
Beautiful.
And this is under city control, so the governor can't stop it, I guess. So they have put rainbow bike racks on the sidewalks.
I love it. Thank you, Floridians.
Yes, exactly.
Gilbert would be thrilled with that.
Exactly. In Massapequa and Rockville Center, New York, on Long Island, the Board of Ed is suing our Attorney General, Tish James. Yeah. You may have heard of her over trans issues. They're suing because they want to, you know, stop trans athletes. They say
that Letitia is that her lawsuit is silencing parents and school officials who question trans students being
taught. Well, she says, you may sue over these issues, but please, you can't disparage them. You can't say nasty things about
them.
And they say, free speech, you're silencing us.
There's only free speech in one direction.
Yeah.
But Chick-fil-A celebrated a gay couple's marriage. I was thrilled by that.
That's from the Marjorie Taylor Greene school of a clock, clock
That's
is
exactly
right twice
right.
a day. All right. Sad news about Jason Collins. Jason Collins, the first out gay NBA basketball player, a real hero. There he is in his basketball uniform on the left and on the right with his husband, who he married just this summer.
Yeah.
And now Jason has announced that he has been diagnosed with glioblastoma, stage 4 brain cancer. That's not good news.
No, it's not. But I think it's Singapore he went to for
treatment.
It's an experimental treatment that's supposed to be able to block the growth of the tumor. So we'll see how all of that works out. I hope you'll follow up on that in a week when I'm not here.
We will definitely follow up. Look, I'm on 2 cancer drugs that, the surgery took out the tumor. And I had 25 rounds of radiation to catch any individual tumor cells that might be running around. But I'm on 2 drugs for the next 5 years that are supposed to prevent it.
I think he'd be happy to be taking those 2 drugs.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I read the article, and the way it sounds is the tumor is like a suction cup on the top of his skull, right? And it's growing like tentacles almost. And so to break that up is a challenge.
Well, that's what killed Teddy Kennedy and a number of other people.
And that's what they're trying to do. That this treatment in, I believe it's Singapore, is to do just that, to dislodge it, sort of, the way I read it. So I hope it works for him. I really do.
Me too. All right. Going down a little list here. Oh, in Colorado, we've been following this. The High School Activities Association in Colorado has settled with conservative districts in the state. Colorado's an interesting state. I lived there when I was in high school. It has both very progressive parts and very conservative parts.
It's a very truly purple state.
It really is. But it's, you know, it's got a gay governor, Jared Polis, who's I think has been doing great things. They're going to allow local control over trans athlete participation. Not ideal, but...
It's better than banning.
It is better than banning. It's better than these deep fights we've been having.
Right.
And it gives people a chance to experience what happens when you do allow people to participate and learn.
This whole subject drives me crazy for, like, the maybe 30 trans kids in the entire country that want to play sports.
Well, let's cheer ourselves up then a little with a little video from our incoming mayor of New York City, Zoran Mamdani, who did a little interview on the subject of transitions, him transitioning into his job and other transitions.
And cherishes them.
And we are wishing everyone who wants to transition a smooth enough and exciting transition to be just like Zoran, I guess. <don't know. laughs>
They want transgender for everybody, everybody transgender.
Can we start it again? Try it again. Yes.
Zoran, congratulations on starting your transition.
Thank you very much.
What would you like to say to trans kids out there who might be starting their transition?
Well, while these may be different transitions, we're going to make this a city that doesn't just protect trans kids, but also celebrates and cherishes them.
And we are wishing everyone who wants to transition a smooth enough and exciting transition to be just like Zoran, I guess. I don't know.
They want transgender for everybody, everybody transgender.
Transgender for everyone. Oh,
I like Zoran's giggle.
I like it too, but he hasn't met me yet.
You think that's going to...
I just want to tell him one thing. Don't make promises you can't keep, because we're going to be watching you.
Well, I think that's true. And people ask me what I think of him, and I say I am cautiously optimistic.
Optimistic. I feel
yeah.
the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for a fresh start with someone new, and I'm hoping for great things.
Well, people thought his ideas were crazy, but as we sort of turn them over in our minds, it's becoming more realistic,
yeah,
and
really
people
is.
are calming down about it.
What I like about him is if you ask him, well, how do you feel like you're going to implement that? He actually has a plan.
Exactly.
Now, we all know he won't do everything. He won't be able to do everything that he's promised, but I think he's going to give it a good shot.
All right. Let's talk about someone we lost who was important. This was a tragic accident. Non-binary lesbian actress Wenny Alton Davis, 60 years old, was killed crossing the street in New York. Now, we don't want to reinforce images that New York is an outrageously dangerous place, but she was crossing the street at 53rd and Broadway, and an SUV turning the corner killed her. Terrible tragedy.
That's
she
a
had
tragedy.
Appeared in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She appeared in the movie of The Normal Heart.
Yeah.
She was in a lot of different things and had a great career still ahead of her. And that is a very sad
loss. But it
loss.
Wasn't because she was in New York. It was because there was
no,
a bad driver.
Exactly. And it was probably nighttime, and it's hard.
Yeah.
Can be hard to see.
Tragedy.
Very tragic. All right. Should we move on to international news?
Let's do that.
Okay. In Hungary. Well, Hungary was such a great story this summer because Viktor Orban, the heinous president of the country, role model for Trump and close friend, said, no pride parade. We're not going to do any of that nonsense. They've had Budapest Pride parades all along.
Very successfully.
Yeah. But instead of the few thousand people who usually show up, when he made that announcement, 100,000 people showed up. Just great pictures of that. I should have dug them up. I got too busy. But one of the supporters of holding the parade was the mayor of Budapest, Gergely Karasong. I'm going to totally screw that up. Someone's going to correct me. Anyway, he now says the government is charging him for somehow being involved with this parade, and they're charging him with breaking the law on freedom of assembly.
Now, which is just an oxymoron.
It certainly is, but there he is, the mayor.
But he says in a system where the law protects power rather than people, and the system stifles free communities, it's inevitable that sooner or later the mayor of a free city would be charged. He says he's proud to take every political risk for the sake of his city's freedom. He's a hero.
He is.
Very brave. There's a teacher in Hungary also facing jail time for the same.
For a different parade, right?
Yeah.
In Pesh, P-E-C-S?
Pesh, correct.
Yes.
Same charges.
Well, I think we have learned over the years that activism brings joy.
Yeah.
And no matter how many people
I'm
try...
I'm happy.
I am too. And... you know, no matter how many people try to shut you down or tell you you're doing the wrong thing, if you know that you are standing up for people and rights, then there's great joy in that. And it reminds me that tomorrow morning I'm going to be talking to 8th graders at a school uptown, about 50 or 60 of them. I did it 2 years ago, too. A friend of mine teaches a class on social justice at this school, and so they bring in outside speakers once a year to talk about their experience in various social justice movements, because the kids are assigned to do a social justice project every year, and so I'm going up there to...
Well, you know, I used to
talk to them.
I used to mentor kids in high school for Live Out Loud.
Yes.
And I would go and talk to their GSAs and so on. Young people are so inspiring. And
totally.
It's heartbreaking to hear their coming out stories where they're rejected by their parents and this and that. The advice I always give is, it gets better.
Genius.
I know. Take charge of your own life. It gets better.
Well, you know, I spent 4 years at Hedrick Martin with Andy and another guy going out into schools and talking to classes every day, like 5 classes a day, and watching sometimes the gay kid sitting quietly in the corner as their classmates express their homophobia or fears or whatever. But but by the end of 50 minutes of us, they were apologizing for going and beating up queers in the village on Friday nights.
Yeah.
So we
That's
hope
where
to
the
make
work
it
begins
safer.
Yeah. With the young.
But a great privilege. And yes, kids are so brilliant and wonderful and have such great values. 4th grader in the village. Years ago, before marriage equality. Can two people of the same sex get married? I had to explain that no, they couldn't, but, you know, in Denmark they could have a civil union. That's what time it was. And she got up and she put her hands on her hips and she said, well, I think that's stupid. I think you should be able to marry anyone you want, even an elephant.
Don't
so
say that to any
true.
Politicians, kids.
So
don't say that.
True. Yeah. All right. Anyway. So, yes, talk to kids. They're the best.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear you doing that.
Oh, I did it for 4 years. Oh, tomorrow. Yes, me too. It's a great privilege. Meanwhile, in Canada, the Liberal Party is going to propose deleting the religious exemption from hate speech crimes. Now, we can debate whether you should criminalize hate speech. That's a whole involved conversation.
But I think it's a good thing to remove the religious exemption.
I'm all in favor of removing religious exemptions, but in this country, we wrote it into the Constitution, and we're stuck with it.
It's a big mistake, especially now that they're talking politics from the pulpit, or not just now, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, our side talks politics from the pulpit, too. But
it would be good for them to remove that.
In the UK, the British British ice skating organization has joined Canada and Finland in okaying same-sex couples for ice dancing competitions.
But come on, tell them why.
Because there aren't enough men. And they're not sanctioning it for pairs competitions, because that's more athletic, just for ice dancing so far. But the international organizations are not going to allow this yet.
I had to laugh out loud when I read that, because on the surface you think, wow, that's terrific, right? But then when you read down into the article and you see why they're doing it, it's kind of hilarious.
Well, there's room for you men in ice dancing. And also in the UK, there's a fight over the traditional Christmas pantos, the pantomime productions, because they're very kid-friendly and with drag queens. And so Andy will have to report on that when he comes back.
Didn't they all start out because it's a story including drag queens?
Probably.
Wasn't that like the attraction?
What are you saying? I don't know. All right.
Crazy.
In health and AIDS news, Mpox cases are decreasing in New York City. That's good news.
It is good news.
But it doesn't mean you don't have to still get shots and protect
yourself. The reason
yourself.
It's going down is because people are getting their shots.
That's true.
Because vaccines work, people. Vaccines work.
Yes.
Crazy.
And I've had a lot of them this year, but I still have to get the shingles vaccine.
Oh, my God. I heard. I don't even want to tell you what I heard.
No,
I've never
heard
mind.
It too.
I'll just keep it to myself.
Okay. All right. Moving on to entertainment.
Please.
Netflix has announced that next year they're going to air a 6-part documentary on Adam Lambert.
Amazing.
They're putting $65 million into this. It should be quite the extravaganza.
Well, I hope so. For $65 million, I could think of a lot of things to do with $65 million.
Well, maybe we should talk about Anthony Geary. Died at 78. Same age as Rob Reiner. Same day as Rob Reiner.
Same day as Rob Reiner. Same terrible loss for the world. I loved Anthony Geary. I loved him as Luke Spencer. I loved him as a human. I loved him for being out, even though what did the New York Times
I'm about to
do?
Get to that. He died unexpectedly, complications from surgery.
But there's nowhere that I read what kind of surgery
no,
it was.
No, it has not been talked about. He was with his partner for 30 years, Claudio Gamma. They were married. They lived in Amsterdam. He was out. Here's what the New York Times prints: a big obit of Anthony Geary, very extensive, tons about Luke and Laura, and then they say, and this is the only reference, in addition to his sister Deanne, he is also survived by his husband, Claudio Gamma, and another sister, Jana Geary Steele. That's it. That's the entire gay history of Anthony Geary, according to the New York Times. Now, the great coincidence is that he appeared on All in the Family with Rob Reiner, and he played a friend of Rob Reiner's who was effeminate, and so the storyline was that Archie thought he was gay and condemned him, but it turned out he wasn't gay, but Archie's very butch friend was gay.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
All right, we're down to our last 20 seconds, so we're going to leave it at that.
Rachel Harlow?
No, we don't have time. So thank you, Kathy, for being here.
Oh, anytime, Anne. I love to come visit you.
And remember, next week, the John McNeil documentary, week after the ACT UP documentary, and we'll see you in the new year.
Bye, folks.